Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Well, Ben Bailey's a busy man. The boy from Te Awamutu turned TV personality is one of our most renowned chefs with various restaurants, wonderful restaurants, and a TV series, at least one TV series taking him around the country. But we've managed to grab him for half an hour. He's with me in the Auckland studio. Kia ora, hello.
Hello, how are you?
And you bought gifts.
Yes.
So part of your job is just to roam around New Zealand and look for interesting food stories that people may not have come across before.
I guess, yeah, 100%, and promote them. You know, like there's so many amazing people that you would have never have heard of. And that's sort of morphed into promoting these amazing producers on the world stage too, you know, giving them a platform. And so it's been an amazing journey. I mean, right now you've got it's called a Mona Lisa banana, and it's a tiny little...
I'll be honest with you, listeners, it's not the most beautiful bunch of bananas I've ever seen.
No, they look a bit ropey, but... they're tiny, and the when you have a New Zealand banana, you'll never go back, basically.
Really?
Yes, yes. You must eat one on the show.
I better eat one. I'll eat one now.
Because they're a lot firmer, they're sweeter, they've got a beautiful texture, they're not floury, and there's so many different varieties.
This is as opposed to the Cavendish, which has become the sort of the banana of the world.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. There's big banana factories all around the world, and the bananas get shipped here green. These ones get picked ripe. So there's plenty of people in Northland growing amazing tropical fruit, and you've also got some sugar, freshly pressed sugar cane juice. Very, I mean, in moderation, it's sugar cane, but it's magnesium, potassium, all the good vitamins. It's down dirty, makes great ice blocks, real yummy, you know. Yeah. And pineapple. Once you have a New Zealand pineapple, you'll never go back.
Really?
That's absolutely delicious. Yeah.
So. I'm eating the banana, and yeah, it's lovely. As Ben said, it's all about the texture, I think. And it's got a little bit of that hint of green banana about it, but not the bitterness with the green banana. It's just got a bit of that. It doesn't have that kind of cloying taste that you can sometimes get from a Cavendish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if you like your bananas not overripe, then these are the ones for you.
Thank you. Tell me about the show. Third season on at the moment?
Third season, yeah. We're very lucky. So the last episode airs this Saturday. So, yeah, it's been an amazing journey. I think this year, you know, trying to find the purpose of the show has been our biggest task. Like, what is the future for it? Like, we always look to shows like Country Calendar. And, I mean, that's, you know, it's an icon of New Zealand. And it's a food show, basically, and 64% of our economy in New Zealand is based on making food.
Yeah,
and so getting out there and trying to tell our New Zealand food story better, and it's
what's missing. Do you think? Why did you feel there was a gap?
Well, I think like it's very generic when you look. When say if you're in France looking for New Zealand lamb, you're going to find it in the corner of the freezer, the cheapest lamb in the supermarket, right? But New Zealand lamb is world class. Last year, Australia had a big drought. They culled all their lambs, flooded the international market. And then next minute, New Zealand lamb farmers are getting $6 a kilo for their lamb, and they just can't afford to operate. So you sort of ask the question, like, how does a drought in Australia affect New Zealand lamb prices? And if we tell our lamb story better, then maybe it wouldn't affect it as much. So there's those sort of things going on, and I think, you know, when people come to New Zealand now, they're wanting to see what our New Zealand food is, and I think we're still in that stage of defining what it is.
Yeah.
So it's quite interesting.
It's a hard question, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I mean, we're beginning, essentially.
I mean, we're a young country in many ways.
100%, yeah.
Well, modern New Zealand is a young country, and one of the benefits of that is that we have a bit of a melting pot of cultures and cuisines too, huh?
Yeah, so that's, yeah, again, blending it all together and defining it is difficult because you look at, I don't know, France or Italy, they've got thousands of edible native plants, they've got tens of thousands of years of humanity walking this land, and it's a very productive land as well with great climate. And so over tens of thousands of years, a culture around food is born. And we just don't have that time yet. So everyone's moved here and it's just getting essentially mixed
still
together.
Still working it out, which is exciting in its own way.
Yeah.
Where can people see the show?
TVNZ, so TVNZ1, 7 o'clock on Saturdays, and then now streaming, really, if you haven't seen it.
Does it have an international audience too?
Yeah, we're in 88 countries, which is great. Heaps of Aussies watch it on SBS, which has been fantastic. Mm. And the other interesting one was it's on the airlines, and so people are watching it as they fly into New Zealand. So
gosh, cool.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool. Like they might have an hour left or half an hour left on the flight. They're having breakfast, and they can just watch something light, and they're finding the show. On Air New Zealand, there's like a little foodies tab you can tap on, and and because we're a New Zealand food store, it's right at the top as well.
Great,
so,
great.
Yeah.
Ben, why do you keep opening so many restaurants?
Oh, I've stopped now. Yeah, now I've retired from that.
How many you got?
We have six venues. Ahi Origin in Auckland. Then in the South Island, we have the Bathhouse, which is on the waterfront. And then Aosta, Little Aosta, and the Blue Door in Arrowtown.
Queenstown and Arrowtown. Yeah, okay. It's too many restaurants for one man.
It is,
I know you've got lots of help.
Yeah, we've got a great team, and I keep sort of... A big part of our philosophy is sort of to leave the ladder down. So the guys sort of climb the ladder and you sort of work your way out of a job and you do something else. But I think, you know, consolidating a little bit this year will be as important. And over the next wee while, I mean, you can't keep opening restaurants with your name attached to them because, you know, people want you to be there all the time. And, and obviously, you know, my family's getting older and stuff like that. So I think sort of just trying to be inspirational now and let the guys do it. It's a big part of our philosophy.
Thanks for choosing the music. We're going to start with an Alice in Chains song. Can you tell us a bit about the song Nutshell?
Oh, it's one of those songs that makes me reflect, and everyone needs a sad song. And
it's true.
It's like that's the song conjures up sort of memories of stuff-ups or death or, you know, sad parts of your life, and it makes me reflect, you know, and I love the song.
Okay, here it comes, Nutshell by Alice in Chains. better fade it down before we both break down. That's
sorry about that, guys. Oh, my God.
Nutshell by Alice in Chains, choice of Ben Bailey. You had a moment in London when you knew you wanted to cook, right?
Yeah, it was more in Te Awamutu, actually.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. I think I had this amazing teacher at school, and he sort of like took an interest in me and said, oh, what do you want to be? And I said, oh, I think I might want to be a chef. And so he got me a job at Taylor's Restaurant in Te Awamutu all those years ago. And I started washing dishes there and sort of just fell in love with it, and then went to Waikato Polytech and all that sort of stuff. And then very quickly pulled the ripcord and got out in New Zealand. And I think that was sort of the making of me. And getting, at the time, you know, you think about, when was it, early 2000s, late 90s, when I started cooking in New Zealand, and there just wasn't much going on. We didn't really have a food scene. And so to get into like Melbourne, or went to lived in Las Vegas for 2 years.
Did you?
Yeah. But I worked at Bellagio. It was an incredible time.
Bellagio is the one with the fountains?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
I've been to the buffet there.
Oh, the buffet.
Famous buffet, yeah.
We used to distribute the the caviar for the buffet. There'd be like huge tins of caviar. It's an amenity to gambling, right? So they just lobster and like the best buffet in the world. Yeah. You know? So yeah, it was a good
incredible
move going there.
Yeah. And you ate at the Square in London.
I worked at the Square, yeah.
Yeah.
And so the Square was kind of, again, one of those restaurants, that first Michelin star place that I worked at. And
was that a Gordon Ramsay, the Square?
It was Phil Howard who worked with Gordon Ramsay. Uh-huh. Who they all worked for Marco Pierre White.
Right.
And Marco was that chef that really put British food on the map all those years ago. Mm. And he had that TV show White Heat. And I think was he the first British guy to get 3 Michelin stars? I think he was. Or the youngest, sorry. And so they all came from that level. But Phil was such a gentleman. He was a great guy. The food outstanding, huge brigade of chefs, and you just worked really hard. And a lot of Kiwis, I mean, people listening know those New Zealanders that live in London. They're doing van tour and running amok all over Europe. Mm. And I was just working and sort of just investing in myself in the 20s, really just trying to work at the best restaurants I could find in the area that I lived in.
You've got a book that you get your chefs to read.
Oh, yeah.
David Goggins Can't Hurt Me.
Yeah. I think it's a good book. It's kind of, you know, kids these days, I don't want to be that dinosaur that says back in my day and all that sort of stuff, but the younger generation that we've got coming through, I mean, they're our future, right? Everything's going to be fine. They're not terrible. It's a different mindset.
Yeah. And I think people in every profession notice that, but as a chef, you must really see it, particularly given what you were used to growing up yourself.
100%. And you know, the labour laws in New Zealand are very strong. You can't work like you did overseas back in the day. So things have changed a lot. But I think the one message in that book for the chefs is that when you're out of your comfort zone, you're growing. And when things are hard and you can sort of bite down and get through it, might be a difficult service, things might not go exactly the way you planned, and you sort of come home at night and you wonder why you're doing it. And I think when you're in the moment working or you're growing and you're learning so much, you don't realise your progression day by day. It's not till you've worked at a restaurant, a really good place for a year, you come out the other side and you realise how good you've actually gotten. And so it's sort of that moment for those younger people, not necessarily to complain about the intensity, because that's what it is. You can't get away from the intensity of a busy restaurant. Everyone works.
That's what the job is, right?
Yeah, and you work less hours. You don't do the big, you know, 16-hour days anymore and all that sort of stuff. But you can't get away from a fully booked restaurant, that intensity. And it becomes like a drug. It becomes very addictive too when you get your head around it. So it's just sort of inspiring them to hang on, because there's nothing worse than training someone up and then losing them. You know, like you invest so much money and time and effort and emotion into some young people.
So what's the book?
It's called Can't Hurt Me by David Goggins. And it's an ex-Navy SEAL in America who sort of tells his life story. And it's basically, you know, you can have anything you want if you're prepared to work for it. And also there's a message there about, you know, if you're really driven and passionate about what you do, it's really easy to be good these days. You know what I mean? Like it's really easy to be successful if you're prepared to put the work in, because it just feels like sometimes that people don't want to put that effort in.
There's another one that you read and enjoyed, and I actually interviewed this guy, James Nestor.
Oh, yes.
And the book's called Breath.
Yeah, yeah. And it's
Since you've read this book, are you now breathing through your nose?
I try to. And I was sitting outside here before I came in, and I was like breathing through my mouth, and I caught myself doing it. And I think, you know, that's a real interesting concept for humans. I mean, we're pretty much the only mammal that breathes through their mouth now. And he just sort of... he puts the message out there that, you know, your mouth is for talking and for eating. And if you breathe through your nose, you know, you apparently can extract 20% more oxygen out of the air. Your nose is like an air conditioner and a filter.
Yeah. And I'm doing this. I'm doing it as you talk to me, by the way, and I'm sure many listeners are as well.
And it also calms you. And I've just finished this amazing workshop course by Dave Woods. And it's called Calm Under Pressure, and it's like a weekend. It's based in Auckland. People fly from all over the world to do it.
Wow.
It's amazing. If anyone, New Zealand based, Auckland based, yeah. He trains all the UFC fighters, Joseph Parker. He's world class, this guy, and he holds a course once a month. And they're really big on that too, you know, to calm yourself down. Like the fighters might be in between rounds and they can sort of breathe through the nose and it brings their heart rate down. And sort of when you breathe through your mouth, it activates a little part of your brain called the amygdala, and you get into the sort of fight or flight mode.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we want to be in a more of a parasympathetic state.
Yeah.
And breathing through your nose helps.
We've done interviews on that, yeah.
It's amazing. And it's an amazing simple technique for everyone who's stressed or might get pissed off by an email or driving around and there's someone on the road that's been a pain, whatever. Like just to breathe through your nose and take a moment. And also when it's really busy during dinner service, I'll walk and I could see one of the chefs a little bit like flustered. I'll just tell them to breathe through their nose. And I said, you're not allowed to breathe through your mouth for the next 10 minutes. And I'll make them work. I won't make them do anything, but you know, I tell them. And just to try to, you know, calm the heart rate down a bit. And you make better decisions when you're calmer. You make stupid decisions when you're stressed out.
Your restaurant, Ahi, named Supreme Restaurant of the Year in Auckland by myself in the Viva Top 50.
Thank you.
Fantastic. No, you don't need to thank me. It's a wonderful restaurant. How many people you serve at Ahi?
A day?
A day.
Oh, lunch is a bit quiet, a little bit slower at the moment. The economy is sort of, we're at the coalface of it. So we definitely see, we've seen a change this year and we'll probably continue for a wee while to see that. But, you know, we do sort of 100 covers at night.
Yeah.
And, you know, so.
Need pretty good systems for 100 people.
You do, right? And we're just.
And not simple food, not like bangers and mash.
Yeah, it's, you've got to have the right space and like how humans move in an area. We've got a really good understanding of that and finding efficiencies with movement. And because, you know, labor costs has gone up quite a bit too, so you can't really afford to have any wasted bodies either. But we've really identified a few key positions within a busy service that if you don't have someone there, you're going to go down. And so like a food runner, like a good food runner, like a great person on the pass that expedites the food to the tables. Those sort of someone, you know, like you really can see it in the restaurant if we're a little bit short. From time to time, we are short. Someone might be sick or whatever, and you'll see the glassware pile up. And the next minute, you run out of cutlery or, you know, things can snowball.
Totally.
So, yeah, we've got it pretty dialed in.
Have you seen a kitchen portrayed accurately on TV or film?
I guess so. There was that one burnt. I think that
was that Bradley Cooper.
Yes, yes.
I haven't seen that yet.
They had it's pretty good. Yeah, it's a bit, you know.
Yeah.
But they had a really great British chef consult for that.
Huh.
I saw Have you seen The Bear?
Love The Bear.
Isn't it cool? Like, I think that's probably the most accurate for me.
Really? Awesome.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome. I love it how they call each other chef.
Yeah.
We do that now. We copy. So everyone is chef now. Because of me watching The Bear.
But they've always done that in kitchens, haven't they?
But I call everyone chef now.
Yeah.
I just love that part of it.
Yeah, like,
it
was really good. Yeah. Me too. Great. Ben Bailey's in with me. We better play a song. We're gas bagging. You want to do Runnin' by David Dallas, or do you want to do... I played that Ben Howard one earlier, which I really enjoyed.
Oh, I love that song, yeah.
Should we play that one?
Yeah, let's play that.
Oats in the Water, tell me about this one.
Oh, again, it's just something I stumbled across. He's coming out soon, Ben Howard. He's sort of like an Ed Sheeran that like he snubs the media, he snubs like the fame.
Yeah.
But he's a beautiful, beautiful musician, very deep lyrics. He's one of those people you listen to, then you sort of like look up the lyrics.
Yeah.
Like really beautiful, yeah.
Yeah, intriguing title this one, Oats in the Water by Ben Howard. Nice one. Ben Howard singing Oats in the Water. It's a choice of Ben Bailey, who's my guest on Bookmarks. Happy 20th wedding anniversary.
Oh, thank you.
Very impressive in this day and age.
Yeah, yeah. I'm only 44 too, so we got married quite young, yeah. 24. So.
And your high school sweethearts.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so we met in Te Awamutu College and started dating in seventh form. And we sort of did our thing overseas. I mean, my wife did viticulture winemaking at Lincoln, and she's done, you know, science degrees at Waikato, so she's a bit of a brain box.
She came with you to Vegas and London?
Not to Vegas, yeah. But we were in Australia together, and then I moved to Vegas and she went down to Lincoln, and then she moved to London, and then I was like, gosh, if I stay in Vegas, I'm going to be one of those chefs with a tall hat and a clipboard. So I, after 2 years, I left there. It was my worst nightmare as a chef, by the way. So I left there and she'd moved to London. So then we sort of rekindled the relationship in London. Yeah, and got married in London.
And I imagine you're a pretty strong team considering what you've achieved.
Yes.
You don't get to achieve that as well as having three beautiful kids.
100%. Yeah, like I think she is not super involved. Well, she does the accounts for the restaurant, right? Mm. So that's quite a big job in itself. But she sort of leaves everything else to me. She doesn't get involved a hell of a lot in the day-to-day running of the restaurants. And so, but creates the most amazing home life for our family, you know? So, and just, you know, steadies the ship, if you know what I'm saying.
Vic and I connect each morning over morning coffee. Do you have those sort of rituals in a day where you actually get some time together?
We're working on that, yes. Yeah. That's a big part of sort of our next phase of our life, I think, and especially hitting a milestone of being married for 20 years. It's you've got to start and like having date nights and stuff like that, like working a few less nights and making time for each other, because we're sort of like not ships in the night. Our contact is always there, but it's sort of not, it's not at a fixed time, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you're telling me things keep getting better.
Yeah. So I always, you know, I think people fall in love and they get married and, you know, there's a lot of breakups these days. And I think for me personally, hopefully she feels the same way, but of course she does. I'm just joking. But like, you know, I just feel us getting stronger and stronger as the years go by. And then you turn around. I mean, I've turned around and realized, I go, gosh, I chose such a good wife. I was just, I'm so clever. Yeah. No, but like, seriously.
Well, she chose you, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so she's awesome.
Okay. With so many of your picks we haven't got to, and I might ask Ayana if we can put these on to the website so people can see them. Let's just pick one at random, Shantaram on Apple TV. You're enjoying that?
Yes, and I haven't read the book. Apparently the book is amazing. First season done. It's an Aussie guy breaks out of jail, gets accused of killing a cop in Australia. It must be like the 70s, I think.
Yeah.
He gets a fake Kiwi passport and moves to Bombay. And it's just an amazing story. He's actually in like a medic, like an ambulance driver. Yeah. So he starts working in the slums in Bombay and starts has a little doctor's surgery and the people of the Bombay slum fall in love with him, and he falls in love over there. And I don't know, it's a real cool. Have you read the book?
No, I haven't.
Oh, it's an epic book.
Apparently. Yeah, you're not the first person to mention the TV show, though. People love it. And Ben has some podcast picks as well, including Diary of a CEO, which sounds good too.
Yeah, it grabs those amazing business people from all around the world, and it's got millions of views on YouTube, this guy, and unpicks them and sort of, you know, it's a really good listen.
Great to spend half an hour with you. Thank you, man.
No worries.
New Zealand Food Story, 7 p.m. TV
Saturday.
One. Yeah, thank you. Nice to see you. Or see on you, demand, Ben Bailey in for Bookmarks today.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.